There's some Sundays when I just have to stop and give God thanks and praise for the ways in which you worship with one another. It's not about how you sound or what was the transition from the music to the prayer. That's not it. It's when we actually lean in the direction of believing that God is a breakthrough that we begin to become the people, the fellowship of those who actually see breakthroughs. And I just want to say thank you that some of you come into this place feeling so happy-go-lucky. Some of you come in this place though really truly feeling like you are at the point of death, and yet you do work together so that those who are rejoicing can rejoice with more joy, and those who are weeping might walk out of this place also dancing with joy. So thank you. Thank you for the ways in which we do this gathered work called worship together, and we believe for one another when we come into this place. Since the beginning of the summer, we have been talking about the gift of Sabbath, or quite simply, what is known in Scripture as a day of rest. It's when you cease doing work. So whether you call it Sabbath or Shabbat or Sabaoth or stop day, it is just a day that we recognize that we are made in the likeness of God, that God has everything under control, that whether we are sleeping or whether we are awake, God can handle it, which means that we actually have the ability and the capacity to stop doing things so that we can also see God doing things. Now, the summertime affords us this beautiful opportunity to take this slower rhythm of our ordinary time and marry it to extraordinary realities in Jesus. Friends, Jesus is always inviting us into stopping and also resting. It says in the gospel that Jesus says to those who are following him, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus tells the disciples, those who are following him, "I am the vine, you are the branches, rest or abide in me." Jesus even tells those who are following him that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, that basically Jesus co-signs on what it is for us to live lives that are full of rest and for us to know that rest can actually change us. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says this, and it's like the key verse of our Southeast Raleigh table. Jesus says that I have come that you might have life, comma, life more abundantly, or life to the full. And this is what I want you to know about rest. Even though rest may not be about doing something, rest makes more of us. This Jesus who says that he wants us to have life and life more abundantly recognizes that rest actually makes more of us. If you ever go visit someone at the hospital, there are particular visiting hours and there are also quiet hours, because during those quiet hours, the hope is that patients are going to actually rest, because when they rest, their bodies actually renew themselves on a cellular level. People's bodies begin to heal themselves when you are able to rest. Rest makes more of us. But this is also true of rest, is that rest makes us better. Rest makes us better. Try driving when you are sleepy. Rest makes us better. It helps us to be that much more faithful to God and that we are present to God. It helps us to be present to self and that we are not just consumed by the tyranny of busyness, but that we can actually take some moments for self-care to recognize that when God said that God created all things and said that it was very good, that we actually take time to know our own goodness. And then rest helps us to be better to other human beings. When you are rested, you actually have the capacity to be more present, to be more active, to be more energized with the folks that God has placed in your life to love, or maybe even to lead. This is the last of the sermons that we're going to do on Sabbath rest, at least for this summer. And this is what I hope you will feel when you walk out of this place this morning, is that we've not just talked about Sabbath, that we've not just talked about rest, that we didn't just do a sermon series about rest, but that we might be the kind of people, the Southeast Raleigh table, whether you've been here for just one Sunday or you've been here for multiple Sundays, that we're actually living this sermon series. It wasn't something that we said or that we listened, but we actually lived. That when people bump into us, they will say, oh my goodness, those folks at the Southeast Raleigh table are some of the most rested individuals in Wake County. And you know how they'll know that you're the most rested individuals in Wake County? Because there'll be more of you. Literally. You will operate out of the fullness and out of the abundance of a good gift, and you will be better. So let's not just talk about this gift. I pray that we will enjoy and also live this gift. So our scripture lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 2, beginning with the 23rd verse. We don't have the scripture for the screens this morning, that's on me, but if you have your cell phones or your iPad or actual Bible in front of you, I'm going to invite you to turn to the second chapter of Mark's gospel, and we are going to begin with the 23rd verse of this particular passage of scripture. And this is what the scriptures tell us. One Sabbath, or one rest day, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, and when Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Hear these words in verse 27 and 28. Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God, we know that you are good and your mercy endures forever. And we know that your word is good and it makes more of us. And that your word makes us better. So gracious God, would you speak to us this day? Not words that are etched on a piece of paper, but the word that falls from your lips that might touch our hearts, that might give us life. Lord, we are listening. Would you speak a word? We pray this in the strong name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Some of you may know this and some of you may not know this, but my dad is also a pastor, which means that for 18 years of my life on any given Sunday, it was always up for grabs if my name or current situation or whatever was going on in my life was going to become the topic of sermonizing. But in God's infinite and good wisdom, I am now a pastor. Which means that on any given Sunday, my daddy's name, current situation, or whatever might be going on in his life might become the topic of my sermonizing. So, Father, if you're listening to this podcast, hey, Daddy, because I'm about to talk about my father this day. So this is what you need to know about my dad. My father and I have a very complex relationship. We have a complex relationship as daughter and father, and we actually have a complex relationship as two individuals who are in pastoral ministry. We do not agree on a lot of things. However, today I do want to give my father a shout out because there is something that my father said to me when I was in high school, a truth nugget that he dropped on me that I have held on for low these almost now 30 years. This is what my father said to me. "Lisa, don't complicate gifts. Just receive them." Lisa, don't complicate gifts. Just receive them. Let me give you the backstory. I had gone through a particular season in my middle school and high school years when I did not always feel worthy or deserving when I was given beautiful gifts. I would almost always have to find or figure out some level of justification as to why I got this gift. And so whenever someone wanted to do something nice to me, or someone wanted to offer up a compliment to me, or literally give me something that was precious or beautiful or a treasure, I just did not know how to receive those gifts well. And my father began to get concerned that because I was that way when I actually engaged with other human beings, that I was going to not know how to receive the good grace, the good gifts of God. And I will never forget my father saying to me, "Lisa, if you do not learn how to accept gifts, how do you think you're going to ever learn how to accept God's grace? You are not deserving or worthy of it, and yet it is a gift that is given to you. Don't complicate gifts, just receive them." Many of us are good gift givers, and many of us are horrible gift receivers. Do you know how to receive good gifts? Do you know how to receive the compassion of God? Do you know how to receive the power of Christ? Do you know how to receive the mercy of Christ? Do you know how to receive the healing of Christ? Do you know how to receive good gifts? Because if you do not know how to receive those gifts of Jesus that Jesus freely gives, that I am the bread of life, that I am water that will never run dry, then it's going to be really, really difficult to receive the gift called rest. Or we will become prone to overcomplicating this gift called rest. It says that after God created everything in the Genesis creation story, that God looked at all that God had created and said that it was very good, and then the next day God rested, which means that the first day for humankind was a day of rest. It was given to us not a day to strive or to toil or to earn our worthiness before God, but simply to bask in the fact that God said that we are very good and that God would create us in God's image. We received rest as a gift. But this is the thing. Many of us are good gift givers, but we're not necessarily good gift receivers. So what if we have learned throughout our lives to walk away from the good gifts that God wants to hand deliver to us? What if we have become the people who have blocked our own blessings? It's one thing when somebody else wants to snatch a gift or a blessing from you. It's another thing when we rob ourselves from the gifts that God wants to give to us. Jesus, though, John 10, verse 10, "I came that you may have life and life more abundantly," will not let us mess ourselves up. Thanks be to Jesus. And so in this passage of scripture, Mark chapter 2, it's a Sabbath day. And it just happens that these beautiful disciples of Jesus are trying to receive this beautiful gift called the gift of Sabbath. And Jesus and his disciples are walking through a grain field. And it says that the disciples begin to pluck grains of wheat. They began to pluck some of the grains of wheat. Now, what I have learned about grains of wheat and why the disciples were popping them in their mouths is that the hull and the husk of grains or wheat is actually kind of like chewing gum. Like, it's very hard to break it up and to swallow. And so individuals in this particular cultural context oftentimes would just kind of like chew on wheat the way that we would chew on chewing gum. So they're just, you know, chewing away, walking through the grain fields, not necessarily eating the wheat as nourishment, but just kind of the thing that you do to pass a long time. It's kind of like popping a Tic Tac in your mouth and like rolling it around throughout worship service to keep you awake. It's a good thing to do when you're walking through a grain field. And as they're walking through the grain field on this Sabbath and also plucking the grains of wheat and chewing on these grains of wheat, all of a sudden these Pharisees, the religious leaders, just like pop up. I mean, they just come out of nowhere, which is so interesting to me. It's like whenever anyone seems like they're on the cusp of having fun, the religious leaders just like pop up to steal the disciples' joy. It's like, you look too happy. Stop it. And so the Pharisees pop up and they start to ask these questions. How is it that you are choosing to be unlawful on the Sabbath? Why do y'all look so happy on the Sabbath, snacking on grains of wheat on the Sabbath. They are upset because people are on wheat. You know you must be something going on the inside when you can't even let people snack on little grains of wheat. But the religious leaders, they basically are saying that what the disciples are doing is wrong. Not that it's not socially appropriate. Not that this is something they've never seen before. They are saying to the disciples, no, we believe you are doing something that is actually breaking the law. So Jesus tells this story of another time when one broke the law. And he tells a story of when David, who we know as King David, the one who wrote probably most of the Psalms, the songbook in the scripture. He says, there was a time when David was in the temple on the Sabbath, and David begins to eat the bread of the presence. It's like one time, one Sunday, we had one of our children who before worship service came, took a chunk out of the bread because they decided that they wanted, you know, the bread for communion. It would have been like David going to the Holy of the Holies in the temple and snacking on the bread of the presence, this bread that was supposed to kind of like signify the awe and the glory and the majesty of God. And David begins to eat the bread of the presence. King David, the writer of most of the Psalms, begins to eat the bread of the presence, and then he even shares it with his companions. And Jesus says, David did this, and guess what? It was considered unlawful for David to do this thing. But David wanted to taste and see that the Lord was good. So basically what Jesus is saying is that even though it was unlawful, it actually was good. Now, you have to understand that the Sabbath was offered to the Israelites or the household of God or those who we might consider to be our Jewish brothers and sisters as a commandment. And though there are particular practices that were that kind of helped to frame what Sabbath was supposed to look like, who was also to be given rest, what you could do, what you couldn't do, how far you could travel, and what and how you might be able to like live out your life on the day that was known as the Sabbath. There really weren't lots of details that were layered on top of that law. However, as humans tend to do, they began to create all these extra, like, holy hoops as to what Sabbath could look like. And so different scholars and religious leaders and rabbis and teachers had different thoughts about what Sabbath might look like. So basically, all of these different rabbis or teachers had different interpretations of what you could do or what you could not do on the Sabbath. And so it is probably assumed that these religious leaders who just pop up out of the blue as Jesus is walking through this grain field, that they are thinking, well, you're not allowed to reap and harvest on the Sabbath. So as you guys are smacking on these pieces of wheat, it looks like to us that you're reaping and harvesting. That might have been their interpretation. But Jesus is like, listen, friends. This interpretation, tomato, tomato, Kiki spell with the E, Kiki spell with an I, might actually keep you from receiving a gift. So it's not about all of the particulars, but it's about the essence of the thing that the Sabbath was made for. After Jesus tells a story about David, trying to make this point that it's not so much about what was lawful, but what was good. In verse 27, Jesus goes on to say, the Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. This is how you can understand this last portion of Mark chapter 2. The Sabbath was made for humankind. This is a gift for you. This is a gift that makes you better. This is a gift that makes more of you. This is a gift that renews you. This is a gift that restores. Not Sabbath for humankind. When Sabbath is for humankind, humankind always mess stuff up. You're going to come up with too many rules. You're going to make some holy hoops. You're going to create all these caveats. You're going to figure out who can be in and who can be out. The way you do it is the way that you think is right, but the way everybody else does it is the way that is wrong. Sabbath was not, it's not humankind for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a gift for you, not a gift for you to somehow tweak and to complicate. And then Jesus says this, so the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Basically, I am the one who sets the rules for how this thing works. And you know the kind of rules that Jesus makes on the Sabbath? Jesus restores on the Sabbath a man with a withered hand. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Jesus pronounces people whole on the Sabbath. Jesus actually has beautiful meals with his disciples on the Sabbath. Jesus says, this is how the rest is going to go. It should redeem you. It should restore you. It should renew you. It's not about jumping through things and doing certain things and making yourself look like, oh, this, look how I'm rested I am looking right now. But instead, Jesus is basically saying to the religious leaders, you are getting yourself so mixed up by overcomplicating this thing. Just learn to receive the gift. Don't overcomplicate the gift. Just receive it. If you don't hear anything that I say this morning, I want you to hear this. Listen to Jesus because we mess up gifts. When I was growing up, I saw how people really did distort however they understood the Sabbath to mean. There was one particular family, and I think I might have shared this with you on the first sermon that we talked about Sabbath as a commandment. There was one particular family in my church community who they were like really big and how they talked about keeping the Sabbath. And they kept the Sabbath day on Sunday, which meant that they would prepare food on Saturday. Everyone would get their hair pressed on Saturday night. You had to sleep like this so you wouldn't mess your hair up for Sunday morning. They laid all their clothes out because they wanted to be prepared for Sunday morning. Their Sunday morning always began with all of them going to church, doing any after church activities, which in my church, after church activities pretty much got you out of church about 3 o'clock. You were always very hungry, but you just knew that you were doing the right thing. They would stay for after church activities, and then you would get to go home and you would rest. But in this particular family, they were not allowed to listen to the radio. God forbid if anyone brought out a deck of cards. You were not allowed to play cards. And in this family, the reason I never wanted to go over to their house is because literally looking joyful or making noise as a child was frowned upon. You needed to sit and look slightly miserable and like you loved God. That was what, I'm not going to say the person's name, that's what she felt like was keeping the Sabbath. Now, to this particular person's credit, in her mind, this idea of being kind of strict and stringent, this idea of having this process and procedure, this idea of all the children in the house not making noise, just sitting on the couch and looking to the heavens for God to appear. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, please come and save me from this place. Was how this particular family began to understand what it meant to be set apart for rest day. But this is completely antithetical to what Sabbath should be. It should renew, it should restore, it should energize. Sometimes we love all of these laws to govern our lives, and the laws begin to actually overwhelm the essence of the gift that Jesus is trying to give us. So maybe before we begin to think that man or humankind was made for the Sabbath, is that you just have to ask yourself this. Is what I'm doing life-giving? Just received the gift. Do I feel renewed, restored, redeemed, energized? Just received the gift. Do I honor others, and am I honored in this day that is set apart? Receive the gift. Am I made whole? Receive the gift. Don't worry if your day is on a Saturday or a Sunday or on a Friday or on a Wednesday or on a Tuesday. Is it a day where I get to stop and to know that God loves me and that I'm deeply in love with God and that nothing can separate me from this love that God has for me? Just receive the gift. So do you know how to receive good gifts? Do you know how to talk good game about rest? Or have you become a good gift receiver? Jesus doesn't give complicated gifts. Jesus doesn't give gifts that we just can't quite figure out how we're going to make this work in our lives. Jesus gives gifts that create life and life more abundantly. So with this gift called rest that we're going to all take, don't complicate it. Just receive it. This morning, I'm going to read a prayer from the Common Prayer Book. And it's a prayer that was written to help us welcome the Sabbath. And I'm not reading this morning as though today has to be the day that you consider to be your stop day. But that you might, from this day on, truly believe that this gift that God has given to us is a gift that you want to live into, and so that you're going to welcome this gift called rest into your life. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and to bow your heads as we pray to welcome this gift. Lord of creation, create in us a new rhythm of life, composed of hours that sustain rather than stress, of days that deliver rather than destroy, of time that tickles rather than tackles. Lord of liberation, by the rhythm of your truth, set us free from the bondage and baggage that break us, from the pharaohs and fellows who fail us, from the plans and pursuits that prey upon us. Lord of resurrection, may we be raised into the rhythm of new life, dead to deceitful calendars, dead to fleeting friend requests, dead to the empty peace of our accomplishments. To our packed full planners, we bid peace. To our over-caffeinated consciences, we say cease. To our suffocating selves, Lord, grant release. Drowning in a sea of deadliness and death chimes, of deadlines, we rest in you, our lifeline. By your ever-restful grace, allow us to enter your Sabbath rest as your Sabbath rest enters into us. In the name of our Creator, our Liberator, our resurrection and life, we pray. Amen. My prayer is that we won't just talk about it, that we will actually live restful and rested lives.